o'clock hour
of Wilde and Tausch begins now. And it begins with this theory from Gabagool.
Are we ignoring the whistling, or are we letting him do it?
I was just ignoring it. I didn't want to draw more attention to it.
Okay. Well, I'm a good whistler.
You're fine whistler.
You guys agree I'm a good whistler.
You're fine whistler.
What percentile of a whistler do you think you are?
60th percentile. I'm in the top 60.
How does it compare to your parallel parking?
Oh,
well,
he's in
my
the
parallel parking's still astute, but my lateral parking, not great. Just regular straight old parking stinks now. We've lost it. Got the yips.
Wow.
Got the yips.
But you're still good at parallel parking. Just
it's a weird deal. Like, Jesse, I'm legitimate now. Like, if there's no space, or like if it's just like no cars, I still think I'm going to parallel park into the spot because I still am good at that. I'm not interested in just pulling straight ahead. It's like, oh, hammer the tire curve. Like, I just, I'm going to parallel park everything.
You're hitting curves with your tire?
Angle parking. I think I'm going to start parallel parking when it's angle parking, which I love, by the way.
So you've just become...
I think angle parking needs to be more prevalent in American society. I do.
You're the Chuck Knoblauch of parking right now. You can't throw from second base to first base.
Wow. As I told you, I had a tough experience up in the D.C., and I have not went back. I am now all parallel all the time.
Does that make you Anders Carlson and Sarah Greg Joseph?
Well, Sarah didn't drive.
We don't know if Greg Joseph's still going to be here either. So I don't know. I don't want to put Sarah on that list.
Like Dana Retke says, "You win or you learn."
It's good advice.
Wrote that down on my little deal here. Wrote that down. She's now in the chili category. She's going to be quoted quite a bit.
What else you got on that board?
Washing machine and audible books, which we have not gotten to either of those stories yet. We will go to at some point.
Okay. Well, let's get to this tweet. If love goes
you
down,
win or you learn.
She's not. All right. I don't think we can credit Dana with that. I mean, she said.
I've never
us.
Heard it before that.
I heard it from
Dana.
Oh, I've heard it a bunch of times.
It's a Redkeyism.
From who?
I think it's Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love has used it. In fact,
never heard you quote it in a story.
I don't know how. I don't. You still lose.
Have you?
I haven't heard it either.
Yeah, I don't think you win or you learn is true. So I'm not on board with that. I think you still lose.
You learn by losing too.
You learn from everything, good or bad.
Why didn't you call Dana out on it when she said it then? If you're so smug about it.
Well, because it's not her. She was trying to. She was searching for it herself. Remember, she said, "What is it they say?" And then she said it.
Felt a little touchy when she's like, "Hey, help me out here," and none of us did, which is very touchy.
That's
exactly what she did.
Yeah, exactly. All right, can I get to this tweet so we can move forward? If love goes down and it's significant, is it not better to have a top 5 pick rather than a top 12 pick with, say, Tannehill? This has never really been a veteran backup franchise, and I think draft positioning has to play into that. All right, first of all, I'm not saying that they I've never, ever been advocating for them to sign Tannehill now. There's a bunch of reasons you don't do that right now, including that he's a vested veteran, so you're on the hook for his whole salary if he's on the roster for the opener. So that's not what I'm saying. And you're right, you can go get him whenever. I believe we talked about this, that if I'm him, I'm waiting for someone's starter to go down with a team that doesn't have a veteran backup, and I could say, hey, you saw what Joe Flacco did for Cleveland last year, I can do that for you this year. So I'm not saying you need to go get him. Taylor Heinicke was the guy, in my opinion. Okay? That's the guy that is, he fits the suit. It doesn't have to be him specifically, but that's the kind of player that I was thinking of. Malik Willis, now we got two Maliks on the team again. Malik Willis isn't there yet. But
breaking news that Malik Heath made the roster?
No, but I feel very confident that he will.
I just want to make sure. I know you're a you're a stickler for words, so I just want to make sure.
It's 11-12. Maybe if he, even if he is being released, he hasn't been released yet. How about that? So he's technically on the team right now regardless.
Okay. That a baby.
Thank you. But I am fascinated by this. I think it's really an interesting move. It's low risk. It's potentially high reward. Distressed asset, all that. I don't.
Just wait a second. Okay, you just said something. What's the high reward about it? What's your high reward?
If he turns out, if you're able to fix him, if you're able to develop him,
then what? He's not going to play here.
You don't know that.
He's not going to be a good idea.
He's not going to be the starter here. But again, what did Matt Flynn do during his time, his first tour of duty in Green Bay? He kept you guys, gave you guys a chance to win a game on the road at New England when you were trying to survive without Rodgers. He went in the 2011 finale and started that game and threw six touchdown passes and 480 yards passing. He got
That moment needs to be one of the Packer moments for the Packer Hall of Fame. I'm going to push that. Okay, continue.
Well, you'll be around your Hall of Famers, so you should push for that this week, right?
I'll try.
He also parlayed that into a pretty darn good contract from the Seattle Seahawks, who then drafted Russell Wilson. I would have loved if Russell Wilson had gone one pick earlier and not been available to John Schneider, I wonder what Matt Flynn's starting career looks like in Seattle. We'll never know. He ends up bouncing around, but then he ends up back with the Packers, and he saves another one of their seasons by being good enough. So if Malik Willis can be a guy that if something happens to Jordan Love and he misses four games, there's not a big drop-off, that's a huge success. I don't know if he could do that tomorrow. But if he could do that by late in the season or next year or the year after that, sign me up. Matt Flynn was the backup from 08 to 12. And then 12 he left in free agency before the 12 season. And then they drafted your buddy Russell Wilson. And then he started bouncing around. Then he was back here in 14 or 13. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that there's a potential upside here for this. And at the very least, he becomes a tradable asset at some point. And you get more than a 7th round pick for him.
You basically said high risk, high reward. My point is no. It's not going to be a high reward.
Did I say high risk?
You said that, though.
I said high risk?
You said high risk.
I didn't
mean
high risk.
You said low risk, high reward.
Okay.
You said high reward. And my point to you is, best case scenario is that Malik Willis plays two or three games and wins a couple. That's it. I don't know what his contract situation is. I think he maybe has one more year, and maybe they can develop him, and maybe he ends up going on and becomes a starter and does some things, and you get a comp pick down the road. But to act as if this is some trailblazing, like, unbelievable move, it's not. We don't have a spot. Our quarterbacks didn't develop the way we wanted, and here's somebody that we think can bring maybe a different skill set and maybe can help in a pinch, but not right now. I'm just not that moved. Like, I saw this news break yesterday. I thought it was more about Sean Clifford to me than it is about Malik. This is more a Sean Clifford deal to me. And I had to think back when Homer said last year that Sean Clifford is the worst backup in the history of the NFL. Remember when he said that?
I do remember that. He also said yesterday that everyone in the Big Ten told him that Clifford was a bad quarterback. And I asked him, really, everyone in the Big Ten, huh? How many people is that exactly? And he said, well, two.
Okay.
Those
are the people he talked to. So this move, while it is low risk, I don't know what reward we're actually looking for. What I want right now is somebody that is going to be stable and that can help win a few games. Mm. When you go all in on a quarterback like you have with Jordan Love, which is the right move, right? You're banking right there. And when that doesn't go well, if you're thinking that Malik Willis is going to be your savior, you're going to be really disappointed. So that's where I'm just not that gung-ho about this entire thing to make me think that this is some groundbreaking deal. Like, hopefully you can resurrect his career, because Tennessee was going to get rid of him, probably going to cut him. And I think Goody looked at it and said, instead of having to go on waivers, we're just going to throw a seventh, bring him in, and hopefully we can resurrect his career so that he can function to a point until his contract's up and we get another crack at developing another guy. That's how this is going to shake out, in my opinion.
I guess my thought is that we don't know what Tom Clements and Matt LaFleur can do with him, right? And I think Tom Clements has done a... Again, this is one of my pet peeves about
the... How'd he do with Sean Clifford?
He had him for a year. He didn't develop him sufficiently.
Two off seasons. A full off season. So, and everybody's saying, well, listen, Tom Clements did a great job, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers, with Jordan Love. Tom Clements is a really good coach. I think Matt LaFleur is very fortunate that he's here. And
thank you,
now
Aaron
this
Rodgers.
Is a fun little project that he can work with. But it didn't work with Sean Clifford. I don't know that you could say, is that Sean Clifford? Yes, that's how this works. And now, hey, I hope that Malik Willis turns into the best backup in the league. And if that's the case, that is a good, solid pickup.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to get all hyperbolic like some on this panel
and say this has got some great opportunity
to be some big reward. I don't view it in those same ways.
Right. I know that I'm Johnny Nuance. In the short term, I don't think this fixes the existing problem. I've been very clear about that.
That's why I'm not that. That's why I'm not that excited about it.
But
if I'm being honest,
if let's say that this year Jordan Love stays fully healthy again, like he did last year, and you never have to play Malik Willis, then maybe you have a guy that a year from now, when Jordan Love misses four games with a sprained ankle, or I'm sorry, I'm supposed to do this like Campy since he's back, James Campen, he misses 4 weeks with a broken chin strap or needing to change his cleats. If he misses four games, maybe Malik Willis a year from now is a guy that could come in there and play really well for you. Is what I'm saying, but don't misconstrue what I said. This is still not what I thought they should do to help their team this year, which is a Super Bowl contender. That if they have an injury to their star quarterback and he misses multiple games, I don't think they're any closer to winning those games than they were with Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt. If they are, it is incrementally.
That's why I'm not excited as a lot of Packer fans are. This move does not move the needle for me. It is I hope something happens. But this is not going to be something that helps you now, and I think you're going to be looking at this. If something unfortunately happens, are you more likely to look at it like you did in 2013? I think you are.
Mm-hmm.
When you had who are the Scotty and you're not in a position to be successful. I don't think you're any more in a position to be successful with what happened, because unfortunately the guy you drafted that you hoped and groomed to be the backup, it didn't work. So that's disappointing, and now you're hoping that this young man develops and can become something, but he ain't going to be able to do it right away, because I don't even think he knows the whole operation. So now you're going down to Brazil, and you better hope everything goes smooth, because if you don't, you're going to be paddling upstream with you know what.
Just for the record, in 2013, the Green Bay Packers had four quarterbacks in camp. Aaron Rodgers.
Vince Young, right?
Vince Young. Graham Harrell. And B.J. Coleman. And they cut them all.
B.J., big arm.
Cut all three of them. And then ended up with Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien. And then that was the year that Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone.
The one year they actually needed him.
And was everybody excited when Seneca Wallace was the backup?
No. And then he suffered a groin injury when he had a play in the game that Rodgers broke his collarbone against the Bears. Then he was out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was the next week when he started against Philly. Bottom line
is, this is kind of, in all honesty, this is kind of a nothing burger to me.
You've made that very clear.
I think
clear.
This is a nothing burger.
I believe
burger.
You've made that
I'm
position
not uber
very
excited.
Clear.
Is anybody excited?
I'm intrigued.
I think you're excited because,
I'm intrigued.
Well, this guy was a third-round pick.
And I'm intrigued.
He stunk when he played, and the Titans' quarterback situation is stunk, and he hasn't been able to break in.
Yeah, I was
so more, I'm not that excited.
I was kind of more hoping that they somehow would end up with Mitchell Trubisky as their backup. But that apparently won't happen. I think he suffered an injury in preseason. All right, Tausch, I think you've made it very clear that when you run your game on Prize Picks, you will be taking less, no matter what the projection is for Malik Willis.
Well, Prize Picks, it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 5 million active members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And unlike other apps, on PrizePicks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do, pick more or less on a 2-6 player stat projection, and you watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your pals. Become part of this fun little PrizePicks community today. Can win up to 100 times your money on PrizePicks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn 10 bucks into 1,000. Sign up today. Get 50 bucks instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. And you got season stats. You got about, what, 8, 9 days now before the Chiefs kick off. Patrick Mahomes, he's going to throw for more or less than 4,300 yards. Jordan Love, I don't think Malik Willis is on there yet, but Lord knows I'd love to see it if he is. Enter your season picks before week one kicks off. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI for a first deposit match up to 100 bucks. That's code WI. On Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to 100 bucks. Prize Picks, run your game.
You went accidental auctioneer voice there. What do we got?
What do you
10,
mean?
9, 8 days to kick off the NFL season. Can I get a 7? Can I get 7 days to kick off?
Half a yard passing for Malik Willis. You taking more or you taking...
Ooh, I think I'd take more. If that's what you're setting it for the season?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'd go
I was
more.
Just trying to make a joke. We will talk more about where the Packers stand.
More cuts, high reward.
More cuts.
High reward, for sure.
Potentially, yes. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So there's no window in the Wilde family basement studios, and I just emerged to find that it looks like it's midnight outside here in Green Bay. We're about to get walloped by a pretty serious thunderstorm, and it's pitch dark out.
Like corn sweat.
Oh, we got to get some of this humidity and mugginess out of here. So
well, hopefully that'll help. All right. So you're not thrilled by the Malik Willis acquisition.
No, I'm fine.
You've made yourself
just not
very
excited.
Clear.
Like, I don't see it as like moving the. I look at it as more of a disappointment in the fact that we had somebody that I was hoping could develop into a really nice backup, and that doesn't seem like that's what Goody felt like. And so now he's taking a flyer on a quarterback that I'm not sure I want. Trying to win 3 or 4 games for a team I think can win a Super Bowl. That's where I'm at. So take that for what it's worth. Am I excited? No. I think it's more of a nothing burger to me.
Yeah, look, I understand. I'm intrigued by it. But at the same time, like just because they do something doesn't mean that's the right call, right? Just like this Carlson
thing. Yeah.
I know yesterday I was on the Homer Hour and I said that the concern that I would have if I was them is that I give up on Anders Carlson too early and he does what his brother did after the Vikings gave up on him.
Bruder,
sehr gut, yeah. So, and they did it anyway. They've released him now. And maybe he never becomes a good NFL kicker. The Patriots have now released, according to Adam Schefter, their kicker Chad Ryland, so another guy that they drafted, now been released, lost his competition in camp to a challenger. So again, I don't know what happens with kickers either, just like I don't know what happens with Malik Willis. Meanwhile, Brandon on Twitter asks an interesting question as I put together Bill Huber's list of cuts that we know of at this point. How many years can Goody go without leading Green Bay to a title before Tausch downgrades him from a top three great GM to just a good GM? It is year six now.
It's a good question. He needs to win.
6 years in, it's actually year seven. Yeah.
He's got a three-year window here to get this done, in my opinion. You have the young wideouts, and we saw what CeeDee Lamb got paid yesterday, $33 or $34 million
a lot.
And I'm guessing if Romeo or Christian have big years, they are going to want to get paid. They're going to both want to get paid anyways, but I would think if one of them has a monster year, they're going to say, pay this man his money or you're not going to get my services. So things are going to start tightening, but Goody has put his team, again, I understand you didn't get over the hump. All you can do as a roster builder is put a team in place for them to have a bunch of success, and then it kind of comes down to, can you get over the hump? Players, coaches. And I firmly believe 2019, no, they didn't have the horses. 2020, David Bakhtiari gets hurt, and you could say, well, Goody didn't have the cupboard stacked. Well, he had veteran tackles there to do it. I don't know if they made the right decision on playing who they played. We don't know.
It didn't go great.
Their edge was not protected, and that's why they didn't win that game.
Yep, you're right.
But you have the one seed, right? You have the one seed both years. You gag against the San Francisco 49ers. No business losing that game. 9 out of 10 times you don't, they did. So am I going to crucify Goody for those? I'm not. And I can understand why some fans do. Old T ain't going to be one of them. But, yes, everybody is judged. The heat is going to continue to rise both on Matt and on Brian as this team continues to win and be successful. But I'm going to tell you right now, LaFleur is going to take the heat more than Goody if it comes to not winning in the playoffs. And that's just the way things go
just the way it
as
is.
Being a head coach in this league.
You're right. You're right. Here via Bill Huber of Sports Illustrated, who does a fantastic job of chasing all these down all day long. Here is a list based on his list. It's his list, not mine, of the players the Packers have released thus far.
So his list of his list?
No,
it's his list of his list.
It's me reading his list on the radio with proper credit.
One of your favorite
credit.
Things to do.
The Packers releases waves cuts so far. Running back Nate McCrary. Wide receivers.
Not surprised, right?
No, although he might be back on the practice squad. That's a whole other discussion that we can have tomorrow once we see what they do with the roster, is what the hell are they doing behind Josh Jacobs in the short term? Emmanuel Wilson, who we kind of talked about yesterday, there are some reservations about some of the other aspects of being a running back, but he can run the ball effectively, so he is an option. Julian Hicks, Dimitri Stanley, two wide receivers. Dimitri Stanley, the son of former Packer Walter Stanley. Messiah Swinson, tight end. Joel Wilson, another tight end. They have both been released. Josiah
Looking good for Smitty.
Left last
Looking
year.
Good for Smitty.
One of our favorite names to say, Luke Tenuta. Luke Tenuta has been released. Jaylen Wayne, a wide receiver, the cousin of Reggie Wayne, has been released. We mentioned Joel Wilson. Anders Carlson, we do not have any update on the quarterbacks yet. Another wide receiver, as Tausch mentioned earlier, the first one that I think broke this morning, Samari Toure, also released by the Packers. And, of course, we know Anders Carlson.
Do they do this in any order? In part, like, are the tougher cuts the ones that come right at the deadline, or like, what's the rhyme or reason to that?
I think it's a fantastic question, and I think the answer is yes, they do it in the order of when they've decided. So, like, they obviously have spent the last couple days discussing the Anders Carlson move and had come to a consensus. I don't know how much Rich Bisaccia was on board with it or not, but the bottom line is that they had made their decision that he wasn't the guy. They may still be mulling and discussing, is Greg Joseph the guy? Or let's wait
and
see.
And the wideouts with your guy Dubois and
DeBose.
Like, are both guys going to make it? You know, it'd be a fun, and granted, now, this is not anything I would ever want as a player, but as a content guy and as an analyst, fun would it be to have Packers.com in that room or us? I'd love to do it, where you let Goody, LaFleur, and Russ Ball sit up on a three-man panel, and you get to state your case. You did all this. You bring
like
Anders and you bring Greg
talents?
The Leg in. And you know, it's just, this is why I should be your kicker. Here's my stats. This is
and
what
you
I know you watch the film.
Salesman.
I want to be able to present my last argument like Judge Wapner on the People's Court. I want both those guys to be able to go in. I want Samari Torrey to go in and say, I'm going to make you pay. And they do this. Players do this when they get cut. And the GMs will say, oh, I hope you have a great career. And they don't really want you to have a great career because then it makes them look bad, especially if you go to the Vikings or the Bears. But wouldn't it be kind of fun to have that where it's like a little reality TV? Again, it's from a player standpoint, I'd hate
it. Simon Cowell.
It's Goody Tank.
No.
It's like Shark
it's
Tank.
It's kind of.
It's Goody Tank.
Where Goody looks at it and says, you know what, Greg? Your kicks are more right down the middle, and Anders is kind of sneaking him in the side door, and then he missed the 32-yarder. It's almost like an arbitration, which is what the Major League Baseball does, but they do this in the boardroom over at Lambeau, and you create that content, put it out.
I'll give you one season at the veterans minimum. What do you say?
For a 30% stake in the rest of your career.
You guys don't like the idea.
Nah, that's not going to work for me. I'm going to pursue someone else.
Like our buddy from Just the Cheese. David just said, no, I'll pass on all your offers. I'm going to go do this myself. And I'm going to go play in the UFL. All right, we got to get to Whoa Nelly. That is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We finally have a cut that I knew this was going to happen, but I wanted it to not happen because I like veteran players and believe they have value. And it's a guy that I like, a guy that's from Wisconsin, and I just had a sneaking suspicion that despite what he did in preseason, when you draft two linebackers in the second and third round, you're not keeping Christian Welch and the pride of Iola, Scandinavia, per Bill Huber,
Iola.
Sports Illustrated.
Iola.
Has been released. So despite probably being their most productive defensive player throughout preseason play and being a special teams core player, you draft two linebackers. And it is, Tausch, I would ask you this. I don't want you to speak for Christian. I want you to kind of, a little conjecture here, but how do you feel when this happens? Because there's literally nothing else the guy could have done. He was great in the preseason on defense. He is a willing and effective special teams guy, and he's out of a job.
Yeah, it sucks. And that's the part of this, you know, why the preseason is kind of losing a little luster for a lot of us is there's a lot of things that are kind of, it is what it is. Like, you're not going to change it. Uh-huh. You have to just keep competing. And when coaches will tell you, you're not only just playing for us, you're not putting film out just for us, you're putting it out for the other 31 teams. Welch is a good player. And The fact that he's a Wisconsin guy, that obviously maybe makes us like him a little bit more. But the reality is, it is a numbers game. And when you draft guys high and they miss time with injury, you get all these opportunities, you take advantage of it, and it's still not enough. It just tells you how important the timing and the getting, just getting where you're trusted and everything. There is nothing else I don't think Welch could have possibly done. And the business of the NFL spits people out. That's why I'm always going to be pro player when it comes to contracts and everything else, because days like today aren't fair. We look at this as a total meritocracy, and the best players always find work, but it doesn't always mean it's going to be the easiest and the best route. But you end up finding your spot, and it's a testament to perseverance and resiliency, because there's a lot of guys that are going to be in a position where they got released and they didn't deserve to be, because some guy got drafted higher and they think their potential is more, and then 2 years later, they're cutting them because they didn't have it. And then they're looking back and saying, dang, I wish I had a Welch. I wish I had one of these guys that put in the time and did it. And it's just another reminder that how unfair and cruel the business of the NFL can be sometimes.
A couple of other quick quarterbacking updates in case you're interested, even though the Packers appear to have cast their lot with Malik Willis. The Cleveland Browns are taking trade offers per Mary Kay Cabot for both Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley. So both those players are on the market to be acquired
now,
in a trade.
I'm going to tell you this. If either of those two were in the boat of getting brought into Green Bay, either. Huntley was with the Ravens, correct?
He went to a Pro Bowl.
Got
a lot of time under
Lamar Jackson. He was. And he has been very successful. He's done some really good things. Jameis Winston, obviously first-round pick, and has done some really good things. Both of those guys fit exactly what you would
think
you'd want in this position. So that's another reason why I'm not super excited, because let me tell you, when Green Bay gives up a pick, and it's not conditional, I don't think Spoon wrote in his piece
flat out
that
seven.
It's not conditional. So he's going to be your backup until he proves he can't be.
Yeah,
I don't love that. And now, the fact that you just mentioned both those guys that fit exactly, have some experience,
right?
Have a different skill set,
right?
Played in games. I like that a lot. And unfortunately, now I think, as you put it, your lot is cast, or your cast is lot.
They've cast their lot. Also, Desmond Ritter, the former Falcons starter, is being released by the Arizona Cardinals as well. Started a bunch of games for them.
No thanks.
Again, that's just all right. We need to get a very brief Lone Ellie.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Lone Ellie
on Wildy and Tausch.
Oh, Jesse, C.J. Beathard, who I believe came into Lambeau with the Niners, did he
indeed
not tear
he
us
did
apart?
Didn't
yes,
win the game,
but he played really well.
Yeah.
A lot of quarterbacks on the market. Flooded, some might say.
C.J. Beathard of Iowa, who came to Camp Randall and won that 10-6 game in 2015, I'm still irritated about.
Played for Iowa, so there was no way it was going to be a high-scoring
game.
I'm out
on that one.
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Huntleys and guys who went to Iowa, not exactly the pillars of offense around these parts. One story I wanted to get to. Mike McCarthy, how'd you feel about CeeDee Lamb's holdout?
Very, very, very frustrating.
Well, now he's not holding out anymore. 4 years, $136 million for CeeDee Lamb, the second highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League, behind only Justin Jefferson. What do you make of the deal, Tausch?
It makes me think Green Bay, go do the Romeo Doubs deal this year. Get him locked up at like 20 to 25 a year and feel really good about where you're at. That's what it makes me feel.
25 now?
The price tag ain't going down. Dobbs
3 years,
gonna have big
75
year,
million. Mark the tape. because I think Tausch will be taking a victory lap on this, but we'll see. But mark the tape, because I think he's more likely right than wrong. I would say this. I don't know if wide receivers, even ones as good as Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, are worth this much of your salary cap. That's a lot to put on one receiver that teams can say, we're going to take him away, and you better have enough money to pay some other guys, or you better draft well.
I'm not going to lie to you. I remember you talking about Devonta Adams saying Green Bay should pay him not that long ago.
Yeah, and if they had, it would have been before the market exploded. He might have been coming back,
Jason,
been coming
not
back
fair.
With his hand out.
That's not this, fair because
this is
cap,
way this is way more than what he was asking for in
27 million 3 years ago with inflation and a salary cap. It ain't that much different than 33 or 34. Have one of your economics expert run that.
I will
4 years ago's money isn't the same as today's.
Also, gas prices back down, at least for today.
Yeah, but they just popped 25 cents overnight again, which is crazy. But I don't.
Whoa, Nelly.
Oh, Jesse, by the way, I made it back.
Nelly.
I filled up last night. I didn't need you to come get me gas. So
Thank
that was
God.
Nice.
I was really worried.
What?
I'm glad you made it.
Oh, you missed the show. Yes, true.
Tausch had me on standby yesterday in case he called needing me to bring him a tank of gas if he ran out before he got back to Quick Trip and
Sun
Prairie.
Yeah, I drove down to our Everlight Solar Studios, and the fuel light went on because now the bus lanes, it takes another 45 minutes to get downtown. So I ended up spending more gas, and I still needed to go to Camp Randall. We had to watch practice and all that yesterday. And the fuel light, and I said, I'm going to just go. I'm going all the way back to Sun Prairie with this car, and if it runs out of gas, Jelly, will you come get me? And he said, yep. And I almost prank called him last night, but I decided not to.
Well, I'm glad it all worked out for you. That was a risky play. We will wrap things up and see if we need to call Jesse to help us with that, too. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's an ordinary world. Somehow I have to fight. And as I try to make my way to the ordinary world, I will learn to survive.
We're already out of time. Tausch, Christian Welch, Christian Welch, the most recent release to be broken by Bill Huber of Sports Illustrated. Do you think that there is, I'm not really surprised. I'm disappointed by that one. I'm not surprised. Do you think there's a surprise still coming, or will you be surprised if there's a big surprise?
I'll be surprised if there's a big surprise. Dillard is going to be the one that I'm intrigued by. Did he do enough? Do they feel good enough about keeping him as your swing tackle? We'll see. That's the one that I'm kind of watching to see what happens.
I think it's going
to
be Telfort. I have a sneaking suspicion they're going to go younger there, and they think that he has really come on during this camp. All right, that's it for us today. Thanks to Dana Retke for spending some great time with us. If you missed her, be sure to check that out on Wisconsin On Demand or go back on YouTube. We will do this again tomorrow. Riley Yauch, young Riley,
Yauchster.
Our cousin sub of the day for Jesse tomorrow. The streak ends at 5-4?
Or one.
Kind of. Yeah, you didn't finish yesterday. So
I didn't finish, but I started. I was the opener. That's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch? Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.